In Louisiana, it's the coastal wetlands that are vanishing. Every year, roughly 20 square miles of the wetlands that form the coast are crumbling and turning to open water. It's partly because the U.S. Army channeled the Mississippi River and triggered an environmental chain reaction, and it's partly because of industrial development. Scientists and environmentalists have been warning about the problem since the 1960s, but there's not been much reaction until recently. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling reports for NPR News and American Radio Works in the second part of his series on nature's revenge.
Roswell King Milling is probably one of the last people in Louisiana who you'd expect to fight for the environment. He's president of one of the oldest banks in the South. He's modest about it.
We're a $7 billion bank, which in today's world is not a large bank.
I mean,
it's large for us.
People call him King. When he walks across the marble floors at headquarters in New Orleans, he looks like a Hollywood version of old money. Milling is tall and gracious. He has a dazzling white mane.
How you doing? Fine, thank you.
King Milling is a friend of the governor. He was king of Mardi Gras. There's a whole town named after his family.
Hey, but man, how you doing?
And before he took over the Whitney National Bank, Milling was one of the most powerful lawyers for the oil and gas industry. But a few years ago, Milling had a revelation. And today, this banker is spearheading an environmental crusade. He takes me to his wood-paneled chambers to show what changed him.
I think you begin to understand the magnitude when you look at this.
Milling unfurls a map of Louisiana on his conference table. The way he tells the story, an environmentalist stopped by a few years ago to talk about the wetlands. He told Milling that if they keep disappearing, it could wipe out some kinds of fish. It could wipe out millions of migratory birds that stop in the wetlands each year. Milling says as the activist kept talking, he started getting annoyed. But then something suddenly clicked. At this point in the story, Milling's voice drops almost to a whisper. When he talks, people tend to lean forward to hear him.
Finally, I looked up at him in the middle of it and said, "My friend, to heck with the birds and the fishes." I think it jolted him a little bit, and I said, "This is not about the birds and the bees. This is about whether or not the economic prosperity of Louisiana can continue."
And Milling says, here's what hit him. Banks like his have invested billions of dollars in businesses across this region. He points to the dots sprinkled across the map. He says, you'll find a Whitney National Bank in the heart of every one of those towns.
You know, this whole area is composed of shipbuilding yards, fabrication yards, gas processing plants, chemical installations, those towns that are located up and down the various bayous and rivers form the cornerstone of wealth throughout South Louisiana.
And on this map, these towns are surrounded by splotches of red and pink, which signifies that the wetlands around them are vanishing. Milling says the more he looked at the map, the more he realized that if the wetlands wash away, his bank's investments could wash away. The state's whole economy could be crippled.
It has everything to do with whether or not Louisiana, as we know it, will survive in the future.
So now this powerful banker is helping to lead a campaign to save the wetlands. King Milling's barnstorming around the state. He's preaching to power brokers who'd think twice about letting an environmentalist through their doors. He's giving speeches to the Chamber of Commerce and the Top 50 Businessmen's Club. He's lobbying fellow bankers and lawyers. And Milling keeps telling them, if you still don't understand why the wetlands are so crucial, please drive to a spot on Louisiana's coast. And talk to a man named Ted Falgu.
This little dot on a map, this small place in Cajun, southeastern Louisiana, on the Gulf of Mexico, provides this country with somewhere between 16 to 18% of its entire hydrocarbon supply. That's
meaning
oil and gas.
They call this place Port Fouchon. This is the base. This is the command center that supports the huge oil and gas industry out in the Gulf of Mexico. It's like a giant scar in the middle of the wetlands. There's a jumble of ships and docks and helicopters and oil refineries and barbed wire. And then just beyond them, you can see the beginnings of miles of grassy marsh. Falgu runs Port Fouchon for the state. He says, you think the Alaska pipeline's important? This place handles more oil than that.
There's no other place in this country that plays such a great role to this nation's oil and gas supply.
There are thousands of offshore drilling rigs out in the Gulf of Mexico. A lot of the oil and gas they produce, plus oil from the Middle East, gets to the mainland through this port. Then the industry distributes that fuel through pipelines, which are buried under the wetlands all along this coast. And here's the problem. When the energy companies buried those pipelines deep in the soil, they assumed it would keep them safe. But now the land around them is crumbling. At the moment, we're standing on the shoulder of the highway that leads into the port. The telephone poles beside us are sinking in water. There are little waves lapping near our shoes.
20 years ago, this was dry land. You could go out 500-600 feet out here and not wet your shoes.
Now it's basically a lake.
That's exactly what it is. In 2 weeks from now, you'll have shrimpers. The inshore season opens, and there will be vessels right up against this roadway catching shrimp. We're seeing thousands upon thousands of acres of land just disappear.
So now the pipes that used to be deep in the ground are getting exposed in open water. In fact, there was a nasty oil spill earlier this year. State officials say a boat cut right through one of British Petroleum's lines. Falgu says the company has reburied 7 miles of pipeline right near where we're standing, and it cost them millions of dollars. So consider the fact that there are 20,000 miles of pipelines under this crumbling coast.
So we're talking, you know, billions of dollars to come in and repair and hopefully fix these things before we have a major disaster where we have pipeline ruptures and we have huge oil spills as a result of the coastal land loss.
And that's just one reason why the state's business and political leaders say the whole country must try to save the wetlands. Scientists say it'll take one of the biggest construction projects in America's history. They want to change the flow of the Mississippi River. And that's just the start. The project could easily cost tens of billions of dollars. And it doesn't take a banker like King Milling to realize that Louisiana can't afford that. So Milling and other power brokers are going to launch a national advertising campaign to persuade you, the nation's taxpayers, that you should foot the bill. On a recent morning, Milling and the governor's staff huddle in the state capitol.
Let's look at the focus group findings.
They've hired a consultant to hammer out a strategy.
The first objective of the campaign is the designing of the message itself, the themes that define the problem and the impact of the erosion of Louisiana's wetlands. Any thoughts on this?
The environmental side is very important, but our issue here is fundamentally economics. I mean,
business leaders like Milling don't know much wetland science, but they do know the power of marketing. Their consultant, Val Marmillion, looks very Los Angeles, buzz cut, bright blue glasses. He knows it's going to be tough to get money from Congress for wetlands when everyone's worried about the economy and terrorism. So he's been test marketing patriotic brand names for the ad campaign.
America's wetland was the outright choice in the Pennsylvania focus group. All said that if this is of national importance, we've got to move away from branding it the Louisiana this, that, or something else. We have got to make this America's issue, not Louisiana's. And so the brand has got to talk about how Louisiana benefits the nation in economic terms and others. We're going to get to those things.
After the meeting, I sit down with Marmillion. The marketing meeting has sounded almost like they're selling soap or cereal. Some people might wonder, is this a seemly way to educate the public about vanishing wetlands?
Yeah, I think it's an honest way. We are in a media age that people decry oftentimes, but we are in competition with a lot of other stories out there. And you use the mechanisms of the day to tell your story.
But these political and business leaders don't have any illusions. They're going to face lots of hurdles when they get to Congress. For instance, Louisiana's corrupt political past could haunt them.
That is correct. We have a very checkered history.
Jack Caldwell runs the state's Department of Natural Resources. He just took part in the marketing session. Now he's strolling under magnolias on the Capitol grounds. Caldwell says he realizes that some members of Congress might hesitate to send money to a state where everybody from governors to sheriffs has gone on trial.
For example, on an insurance commissioner, you're not going to believe this. The last three in a row have been convicted of felonies. Three in a row of elected insurance commissioners.
You're not giving me much confidence about Louisiana.
No, what I'm telling you, though, It's changing.
Caldwell says the governor is trying to stamp out corruption. But there's another touchy issue. Louisiana's leaders want the nation's taxpayers to pay to fix the wetlands, but they're not demanding money yet from the industry that helped destroy them.
It's ludicrous and it's unjust.
Oliver Houck runs the environment program at Tulane University's law school. As Houck says, major studies show that the wetlands are crumbling, partly because the oil and gas companies tore them up. Over the last 50 years, the companies dredged thousands of canals through the wetlands to make it easier to drill wells and lay pipelines.
Everybody knows the oil and gas industry is a huge actor in this. But no one goes the next step. No one says, well, since they're a big part of the problem, hey, why don't they help clean it up? It's unjust because they happen to be walking away from a scene of destruction that they have caused. So, in fairness to the American people, they should be paying their bill.
The leaders of the campaign to save the wetlands say it's true. The oil and gas companies have played a big role in destroying them. But King Milling says it's not fair to punish the companies today for something they did years ago, back when it was legal. He says the fact is, government officials encouraged the industry to tear up the wetlands. Everybody wanted their oil and gas.
I don't remember anyone at that time suggesting that this country should stop these activities and not have that petroleum product. Everybody was doing what they thought was the right thing at the right time.
Oliver Houck says, come on, that's not why they're tiptoeing around the energy industry.
Oil and gas is the dominant source of revenue in this state. It's like coal in Wyoming. It's like sugar in South Florida. It wags the dog. And for that reason, it would take an extremely bold public official in South Louisiana to take any position that would be to the disfavor of the oil and gas industry. And one thing that will clearly be to its disfavor is to have to pay part of the bill for the cleanup.
An energy industry spokesman says they'll consider helping pay for the wetlands projects if and when they see a firm plan. But the nation can debate all that in the future. First, business leaders like King Milling need to convince you and Congress that a national treasure is dying in their backyard and that you have the power to save it. A lot of debates in this country have pit the economy against the environment. But back at his headquarters at the Whitney National Bank, Milling says he's learned a lesson. When it comes to Louisiana, at least, the environment is the economy.
And if it's allowed to fail, the economy will fail, and then we've lost everything.
State leaders plan to make that pitch to Congress sometime in the next few months. I'm Daniel Zwerdling for NPR News and American Radio Works.